Hi, this is Heather Parsons with AOTA's Federal Affairs. This podcast today is going to talk about new legislation that AOTA is working on to help increase the diversity of the occupational therapy workforce. I'm on the call with Abe Saffer, also with AOTA Federal Affairs, who has been working on this legislation. So hi, Abe, and welcome.
Hi, thanks.
So can you tell us a little bit about the bill that you're working on? What would this bill do exactly?
So ideally, the bill would help to transform the occupational therapy professions landscape, the demographic, so that it's closer aligned to the nation's, what the nation looks like. And it would do that by providing funds to occupational therapy programs to actually take on different activities to be able to do this.
Can you give me some more examples of?
Yeah.
So it would help our programs, but help the programs do what, and who would they be targeting?
Of course. So the money that a program would get would first and foremost be used for helping students actually pay for their degree, whether it's scholarships or stipends. The program can also do, money can be used for things like mentoring and tutoring services, and also not just those, but outreach to the community. So whether that's the school going into undergrad programs or even high schools to talk about the possibility of occupational therapy as a profession, as well as speech, language pathology, and physical therapy, but also being able to show those students that it's a profession that they can go into. And because a lot of people, students, especially from the underserved areas or areas that they don't see people in these professions that look like them or represent them, don't generally think to go into those types of fields.
Okay, so I'm curious how the bill came about. What was the origin of the bill, since this is new legislation for this year?
Yeah, when I first started AOTA 2.5 years ago, the first month, it's all about learning what the profession is and reading as much as you can and just learning about the association. So the 2015 workforce study had come out not too long before. And so I was reading through that and saw that the demographics of occupational therapy just didn't match what society looked like. And so my background working for a number of organizations that dealt with diseases that disproportionately affected people from racial and ethnic minorities, and then working for a member of Congress in the Congressional Black Caucus who focused on this, really opened my eyes to what the benefits of having a racially diverse and culturally truly culturally competent workforce would provide. And so from then, I just started to try to look and see what the best way to achieve that. And that's when I was able to come across the Nursing Workforce Diversity Program, something that I had worked on a little bit when I was on the Hill, but nothing of any real substance, but looked at that program, and with your help and your support, I was also able to be to see how that could work very well for the not only occupational therapy, but also speech and physical therapies who are suffering from some of the same sort of issues culturally that we are.
So speaking of that, I wanted to talk a little bit more. I know that originally we tried to mimic the nursing workforce bill, but as we dug a little deeper, decided we wanted to change that language a little bit. I think in their bill, the key term for who is eligible for assistance under these programs, or who the targeted groups under this program would be, is disadvantaged. But I believe that our draft legislation reads underrepresented. So could you talk a little bit more about how that came about and also who we see being potentially eligible under that definition?
Yeah, so it came about because, you know, we've been starting to hear back from a number of different advocacy organizations that deal with the issue of health disparities and with you know, the exact populations that we're trying to target. And for them, it was about these are people that were really underrepresented in whatever profession that we were talking, you know, they were looking at, whether it was anything from, you know, STEM fields to healthcare to education. And so the more we started to think about it and look through different examples of legislation, the term underrepresented, I think, really gave us an opportunity to not just be able to diversify the profession and, you know, go out and actively target people and candidates for these programs that were racially and ethnically diverse, but also you had the opportunities to focus in on people that were educationally disadvantaged. So those are people who are first-generation college attendees or economically disadvantaged, so people that, you know, would really benefit from these scholarships or stipends, and even people with disabilities. You know, it's something that they that there's a big push to start to understand really that with some help that you can get people with disabilities into a lot of fields that they just are not in nearly to the proportion that they're capable of. And so that for us was really appealing. And the second sort of part of that is the term underrepresented is a little vague, but it also allows the administrator of HRSA, the Health and Services and Resources Administration, the administrator of that, who's going to be the one giving out these grants and administering the program, it gives them the flexibility to look at what is underrepresented today versus what will be underrepresented in 20 years. And also saying, is there the evidence that out there that shows that this underrepresentation causes some adverse problem that, you know, we could fix? And, you know, right now, ethnic and racial diversity is a major problem because if you don't have an ethnically diverse profession, then it's less likely that people are going to, professionals are going to actually go into these underserved areas. But if you get people from those areas who represent those areas, then they're more likely to actually serve there. They're more likely to stay there longer. And then actually adherence rates and health outcomes actually improve dramatically. So for all those reasons, we really wanted to try to give as much flexibility to HRSA without giving away, you know, some control of the process.
Great, thank you. And one other question just on the developing the bill. Were you able to reach out to any groups within AOTA to discuss the legislation?
COTAD actually was, you know, extremely helpful. I worked with, we had a call with the president of COTAD and talked about underrepresented versus, you know, disadvantaged, and had that conversation and really got some amazing feedback on really what the benefits of using one word versus the other, because it can, you know, seem like it's a small thing, but in reality, you know, one word can make a huge difference in any piece of legislation.
Great. So along those lines, where are we in the process? Where does the bill currently stand?
So we have, so I was able to draft up some rough language. I'm not a lawyer. And so APTA and ASHA, who are both on board with this bill, and they're both supportive of it. APTA was nice enough to let their lawyers take a look at it. And we were able to go through a first round of process there. And then because we had that, we were able to go and find a sponsor. So Congressman Bobby Rush from Illinois, he represents Chicago and specifically Chicago State University, which is a predominantly Black institution, a minority-serving institution, to be our main sponsor. And so, I'm sitting here on a Tuesday, and I'm hoping that sometime today is going to be the day that I get the legislative language back from Congressman Rush's office.
I was going to say, so the bill hasn't been introduced yet?
No, we are we're still waiting to hear back on a Republican lead because we're very, not only do we want it to be bipartisan because we feel this is a bipartisan issue, but we want it to be bipartisan because the committee has said, the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is going to be the committee that a larger reauthorization of the Title VII where this program would go, there's a larger bill moving forward, and they said that if indicated that if we were able to get a Republican on board, that it would be a lot smoother sailing. So as soon as we get our Republican sponsor and get everything, any kinks hammered out, hopefully this will be introduced really soon.
So along those lines, I know that small bills like this often can take years and years to pass. Do you think that there's a chance that this bill could pass this year? You mentioned something about a Title VII bill.
Yeah, so Title VII of the Public Health Service Act is where all of these workforce programs are housed statutorily, except for the nursing one that we talked about earlier, and that's in Title VIII. But Title VII needs to be reauthorized, just as most programs do. Almost all programs need to be reauthorized regularly. And so there was a bill that was introduced by a bipartisan Democrat and Republican in the House to reauthorize the whole Title VII program with a small increase in their authorization level. So they end up being allowed to have more money sent to these programs. And so the hope is that our bill, after it's introduced, either then, we're able to get support and show support for it, and then hopefully it just sort of gets shoved in the larger reauthorization of the whole program. And, this bill becomes law sort of as it'll probably be as an amendment to the Title VII reauthorization. But, it doesn't matter how you get across the finish line as long as you do. So we're optimistic.
Great. So along those lines, what can anyone who's listening to this, what can our occupational therapy practitioners and students do to support passing the bill?
Well, keep an eye on the Legislative Action Center at aota.org/takeaction. It'll be there on there as soon as it's introduced. But in the meantime, if you want, that you can call up your state legislator, your federal legislator, and let them know that you just support this program overall. But we'll be advertising this far and wide. And as soon as you hear about it, just go to our Legislative Action Center or call your member of Congress and just let them know that you support it and you hope that he or she does as well.
Great. Yeah, I'm sure that AOTA will be sure to get that information out as soon as the bill is introduced. So thank you for talking about this new bill. We're very excited. Does it have a title yet? Or are we still working on the title?
It does not. It's one of the kinks we're still working out.
Great. So makes it no less exciting. So is there anything else you wanted to add?
No. This has been something I've been interested in since I started, and it's very great. It's great that it's finally something's finally coming of it, and it just sort of worked out perfectly that the larger reauthorization came at this time. So I'm excited going forward to see how far we can get.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of members. I go to the annual business meeting every year, and also talk to a lot of members that this is an issue that has been discussed many times, and I'm super excited for all your work and super excited for this to be introduced, and keeping our fingers crossed moved and put to action, hopefully, this Congress. So thank you, Abe.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah, no promises, but yeah. No promises.
No promises. We're working
excited.
Hard.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you.